And I want you to turn with me, if you will, out of the Bible in the book of Matthews. That's easy to find. And Matthews, and I'll make it even easier for you, it will be the last chapter, chapter 28, and we're going to pick up at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." I spent quite a while I was at Dean Road preaching. I spent quite a while to get up a very large history of various thoughts on one theme that I had, and that was about the work of a disciple in the early church. And there's so much that is there. I think I preached maybe 7 or 8 different themes upon that while I was there at on Sunday mornings, or maybe it was Sunday night. I don't remember now. But the primary mission of the church of our Lord today is the same as it was in New Testament times. Nothing has changed according to the scriptures. The Lord never did intend for his church to become an end in itself. He just write it off, well, we're through with that and don't need that anymore. But it just becomes an end of in itself, where people get saved, then sit around worshiping and wanting for his return. The Lord's intent, now listen, the Lord's intent for his church is to be the catalyst for bringing more lost souls into his kingdom. And we were talking about that this morning, of trying to find people that we can reach out to and teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the Great Commission has become the great omission. People are not concerned about it. People do not care about it. Instead of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, as the Lord commanded, many of today's churches won't even take the gospel down to the end of the street. That's just how people are. And this little thing came up, and I don't know how young it is, how old it is, but 95% of the churches in America average less than one addition per year. Well, that's certainly not winning the soul, are these people for the Lord. 95% also of all Christians have never won a single soul to Christ. Isn't that sad? All of that time that people have known Christians, have been to churches, and still have never taught anybody the gospel. 80% of all Christians do not even speak of Christ around lost receivers or those who are their friends. Isn't that a shame? You can't talk to your friend about Jesus, about the church. Is it just too bad for us to talk about it? Do we not care anymore about that? Less than 1 in 10 Christians will ever share their faith with anyone in a lifetime. And that's sad. And 71% of all Christians give less than 1 penny per year to evangelistic missions. And we wonder why we're not growing. We wonder why the gospel is not spreading. Some time ago, I looked into these newsletters that fell into a church in North Carolina, and that is that they said that we've checked full of articles about all of the upcoming social events, such as the big car wash, the big bacon sauce, their annual fun day, and their monthly spaghetti supper, but they don't say anything about souls. They have nothing whatsoever to remark. And the newsletter letter also had something about the mission work. And after the story of all the places of mission had gone to preach, to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and number of souls that had been saved, they realized that they only found a few. What's wrong here, brethren? What do we see that's in error? We must understand that the Great Commission has not expired. You got that? We're not through with the Great Commission. It is still in our minds, and it is still something that we seek to press on for people to know. The Great Commission is our commission still. And if today's churches are going to survive and thrive, we must recapture the evangelistic fervor of the early New Testament church. Do you ever sit down and just go back to Acts chapter 2 and begin reading through the book of Acts? And do you ever notice in those first few chapters that so many numbers are given of people who had obeyed the gospel? And these were just men. They didn't count the women and the children. And throughout, it was little things like that. 5,000, 10,000 souls were saved. What's wrong? Why are we not saving souls? Why are we not doing any better than this? And so we want to consider, I believe it's about three things tonight. And that is, first of all, we have a divine mandate. And you know what it is? The mandate is go. Until we go, people are not going to hear the gospel. Now, it may be that they on their own, they will go. Or it may be they will listen to the radio or watch the television or so forth and so on. But if we are going to win souls for Christ, there has to be, first of all, that word, go. What does it mean? It means we go to the people who have not obeyed the gospel. It's just that simple. In verse 18 and 19, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Jesus is not making a suggestion here or offering us an option of some sort. This is a mandate. This is a command from the one who has authority over all lives if we are truly his disciples. When it comes to talking to others about Jesus Christ, we offer every excuse in the book. Now listen, I'm not just picking you out to jump on you. Most of us have this problem. And that is, well, Brother Maynard, I would go out and try to do some evangelism, but I don't know what to say. What's wrong? Did you lose your voice? Did you lose reading the Bible at home? What happened? Why don't you know what to say? It's here in God's Word. Why can't we read it? Why can't we get it down? Write little notes. Underline verses of Scripture. Now, you may be one of those persons, and I'm not making fun of you, but you may be one of those persons who would never make one little scratch in a Bible. I don't know why they think that is going to be so wrong. If I can't mark up everything in the Bible and put things in there to help me teach people the truth, then there's something wrong with me. What if they ask the question, I don't know how to answer? Tell them you don't know how to answer that right now, but you're going to work on it, and the next time I see you, we will see what it means. Instead of just forgetting about it, And then there's people who say, well, I'm afraid that they will reject me. Okay. What if they do reject you? What if they say, I'm not interested in what you're talking about, and I wish you would leave me alone, and they go on their way? Okay. We tried. We put forth an effort. And the Lord can't say, well, you didn't try. Brethren, we've got to not let things like that stop us. Or, I'll leave the evangelizing to the preacher. Why are we going to just leave it to the preacher? What about other members in the body of Christ? Brothers and sisters, when it comes to sharing our truth with others, we have got to understand it's not about us. It's not about our inadequacies or our liabilities or our inexperience. It is about Jesus. It is what Jesus has commanded us to do, and it is where Jesus wants us to do. Jesus cares about every lost soul. You can't say that if he went into the home of every person in this world, do you care about hearing about Jesus? Does that mean anything to you? Jesus cares about every lost soul. He cares about the lost relatives. He cares about your lost friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your classmates. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When Jesus left this world to return to his heavenly Father, he set up what we might call a rescue mission. A rescue mission to save all lost souls, and that restore a rescue mission, it involves each and every one of us. Jesus loves our lost loved ones and friends so much, he was willing to lay down his life to save them. And did we know, brethren, that if we truly love our lost ones and friends, we will do as Jesus has commanded. We will, what's our word? Go. We will go for God's sake to hear the gospel. If not careful, we can do much harm when we preach at people, when we badger them, and when we judge them. I don't know about you, but I've never, that I recall, wanted to get into any relationship of talking to somebody about their soul that I just got mad and started yelling at them and screaming at them and things of that nature. Sometimes it happens, though. Sometimes lost loved ones and friends will be most receptive to the gospel in a time of sickness and a time of difficulty. Brethren, the Lord commands us to go. And that word go is a present tense verb, meaning as you go or as you are going. As you go to work to tell others about Jesus, as you go to school to tell others about Jesus, or as you go about your daily business to tell others about Jesus. The idea is that sharing Christ with others is to become a part of our daily lifestyle. Back before I left Dean Road one Sunday, one of the elders and his wife and another couple and me and Joyce, we all got together and went out to eat a lunch together on Sunday. And we were having a good time talking there with each other. And I don't know if you know about Belinda and her husband there in the church at Dean Road. And she had a bad time of head injuries and stuff. And she's been in the hospital a lot of times, but she was out on this occasion. And we were sitting there talking about what can we do to reach out to souls? What can we do to help people hear the message and believe it? And as we were talking away, the table was being cleared by this young lady. And Belinda just stopped us all and said to that little girl, "Do you go anywhere to church?" Well, boy, that made us all feel very low because we hadn't thought enough to say that. Here was this woman that was very sick, very, very hard. She was having a difficult time. But she took the time to look up to this young girl and said, "Do you go anywhere to church?" And the little girl said, "No, I don't. I used to, but no, I don't." And Belinda got to talking to her and helping her to hear about the gospel. And she says, "I think I'm going to start coming back." Well, brethren, that made my day. I felt ashamed that here I was, a gospel preacher, preaching for almost 70 years. And I just didn't go around asking people things like that. But she did. She was concerned. Do you realize this is the one thing you won't be able to do in heaven? Now listen to me. You will fellowship in heaven. You will worship in heaven. You will serve God in heaven. And you'll probably be even learning more in heaven. But you will never again have an opportunity to teach a member of your family or friends about the gospel. That's gone forever. But that's what happens when we don't realize what we need to do. Not only do we have this mandate to go, but secondly, we have a divine mission. And you know what it is? Make disciples. Go out. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You know the mission of Michelin Tire Company has one goal. And you know what it is? It's to make the best tire that there is. That's their goal. The mission of Papa John Pizza is the same way. That is a goal for them that everybody needs one of these Papa John's pizza. The mission of the Church of Christ is to make disciples. In fact, there is no other way, no other business or company or corporation in the world whose mission it is to make disciples. That is our job, to go out and make. I got interested in discipleship this time with Dean Rode, and I got to thinking about it, and I came up with a lot of questions over the time I was there, that disciples, that is so important of what was going on. Many churches today are caught up in the church growth movement. We can go around here, not too far from my house. I can just get in the car and go up about a half a block, and there's such a huge church, a church building. But what are they doing? Well, they preach one sermon and they'll preach another sermon, and they used to preach three. I think it's just two now. But they are going out and making disciples the goal of the church. They accomplish this by marketing advertising. They know what to do. They know what will bring people there and will keep them there. And so the objective of the church growth movement is to fill pews, not make disciples. They just want you to have a big crowd and everybody has a lot of fun. But that's not what it's for. Or you may say, "Well, Maynard, you're all wrong." Correct me if so. The mission is clear. Teach them, baptize them, and then continue to teach them more. Now, what does this tell us about? What's the theme here? It tells us our mission isn't complete once we get people into the baptistry. Our mission is not complete until we continue to teach those who have been baptized and turn them from converts into committed disciples who will follow Christ the rest of their lives. Isn't that wonderful that we have people here, 70s, 80s, and they've been with the Lord for all these years? That's just remarkable to me. But sadly, some Christians, they fall. So we have a divine mandate to go, a divine mission to make disciples, and the third one is to have a divine mentor, and that is, I am with you always. Isn't it great to know that the Lord will be with you always? You don't need to fear. You don't need to lose it. Just remember that the Lord is with us. One of the greatest obstacles that keep us from sharing our faith with each other is fear. Why are we afraid? Why is there fear in our body? We are afraid to witness to another person one-on-one. We feel all alone, as though it is to us versus them. But that is not true. Jesus doesn't send us out to do this great work and this noble task on our own. For one thing, he has promised what? His presence with us. Look at verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When you are sharing your faith with the lost loved ones, or lost friends, or even a total stranger, the Lord himself is with you. He hasn't forsaken you. He will give you the courage. He will give you the right words to say if you will simply obey him. Don't worry about rejection. Don't worry about not seeing any results. You leave those results to the Lord. He'll take care of them. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus told his disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What's it like, brethren? What are we trying to do in this world of ours? It's to preach, teach the gospel. The Lord wants us to do the very best that we possibly can. Now, maybe there are those here tonight who need to respond to the gospel. Maybe you need to ask for the prayers of the church here at Oceanside. Maybe you've not been as faithful. Maybe you've not been as strong in the faith as you should. It's so good to have come back this afternoon and to see pretty much what we had this morning. And when you come back at other nights, it's good. There are some who will not come back, and I don't know what all of their reasons are. But we're missing a lot of things when we don't come together at every opportunity we have. And you will grow, I believe, if you continue to do that. If you are here today and have never obeyed the gospel but say, well, I think I need to do that, let me talk to one of the elders and see what they say and help me. Whatever it may be, beloved, don't give up. Give in to the gospel of Christ.